everybody. How are you? Welcome to the South by Southwest. My name is Diego Kornfeld. I am president of PowerPoint at Funny or Die. What you're about to see is what my last three months of my life have been like. I'm very excited to introduce this Funny or Die panel. We've got some exciting people and one dud up here. I think that PowerPoint was going to pretty much answer a lot of the questions that we have here, so why don't we get started. The truth about internet videos. Now, as you can see here, that we're not to get too technical, but blue is shitty, and that's, of course, what most of the videos on the internet are. And if you can see right here, this is a little ray of hope. This is how many are just okay, just bearable, right? Okay, so next slide. Okay, what are the keys to success? Now, I want to point out, too, my team and I spent about a good 22 hours figuring out how many question marks to put here, because it's a very confusing question. We figured that this is the exact number. Keys to success. Let's take a look. Don't be terrible. Now, that's a good one. A lot of people don't think about that. They just think, hey, you know what? The internet is exciting. It needs my video. It needs to get up there. I don't need to edit my video. Let's get it on there. I'm hilarious. All of that is wrong. Okay. Okay. Now, next thing you want to do is you want to have good-looking naked people. I really want to emphasize that good-looking part, because as we all know, there's too many disgusting naked people on the internet already, okay? Case in point, YouPorn. All right. Rent a kitten for the day. Now, if you want a good video, have it not suck, put somebody naked in it that's not ugly, and have a cat in it. And you are, I'm not an apothecary, but you might have some gold, okay? Skrillex, okay. An abrasive dubstep soundtrack. That's what the kids are into. Let's be honest, the internet is really the bored at work network, okay? And a jolting soundtrack can help people with their Vicodin hangovers while they're at work trying to pretend that they're doing some work, okay? So not only is good for productivity, but it might make them stay on your web page for a little longer, and that helps with advertising, of course. All right, let's take a look. Okay, I shortened that one first. It's a little short. Okay. Viral goal. Let's summarize here. The perfect internet video. It's not terrible. That's blue. Naked hotties. Eraser color. Rented kitten. Good, light green. And then Skrillex. Okay? So those are pretty much the points. I want to thank my team. And Cupertino, California, for the subsidy for helping us get this PowerPoint to you guys. And I think we're ready to go. Is that right? Absolutely. Oh, wait. Okay, so then this says, let's hear more from our panel after a short educational film. Okay, so we'll do that. We'll do a quick educational film. And enjoy the ride, guys.
We have to do something. Let our powers combine. Earth, fire,
steam,
water, fire. With your powers combined, I am Captain Planet.
Go Planet!
Well, Planeteers, what seems to be the problem?
They're cutting down the trees.
Then I guess we'll have to plant some more.
Attaboy, Captain.
Let's spruce this place up a bit, huh?
Okay!
Wood is good! Let's make them leap!
Captain? Human trick!
Stop, Captain, please. Stop.
Holy Gaia, that's enough.
Everybody's the tree.
I can't let you do that, Captain.
Anybody else want to go green? Yeah, that's what I thought. Punk asses. I'm going back up. Don't summon me again unless you're ready for that pain. Peace. Come on, bitches. Hey, all you planeteers at home. Remember, turn off the faucet between usages and recycle those plastics. Or else, I'll turn you into a fucking tree. Captain Planet, motherfucker.
Well, that was fantastic.
Yeah, let's give it up to Diego. Great job, Diego. Thank you. Thank you so much for the presentation. It was awesome.
It's amazing. He made that presentation, but didn't know when it ended.
He was fired 3 months ago, so I don't know why he's still working.
Yeah, it's really weird that he's here.
We're going to do... We love you. We're going to do this kind of differently. We want to have this like free flow. So anybody who wants to just jump up and ask a question, we all kind of do different things. So if you have something you want to ask one of us, just jump on up and we'll stop for you.
We should just go down the line and introduce ourselves real quick.
Hi, I'm Owen Burke. And I work at, I don't know what I do at Funny or Die. I'm sort of a consultant, which is really vague, but which means look for writers, look for directors, make videos, help with videos, however they can, whatever I can do, pretty much I just do. I really just really annoy everybody, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, confirmation on that.
No, absolutely. I'm Daryl Goodmanson. I run the front page. Cancer. I like everyone equally. that's me.
I'm Allie Horde, and I'm a producer. So we basically help the creative staff from the inception of the idea to post production to getting up on the site.
I'm Betsy Koch. I apologize for my voice because I sound like a dude or Kathleen Turner, but I'm going to go with it. But I am a producer. I work on the non-branded side, so we do similar jobs. We are sort of responsible for doing all the celebrity-driven videos, like the smaller stuff that you see, topical. Allie's is in charge of a lot of the political stuff as well. But at Funny or Die, being a producer here, you kind of do everything. So I'm also, we just came out with a magazine, a digital magazine, and so I helped produce a lot of those features as well. We're also developing a pod. We'll get into this later, but this is. Yeah. But also, you're like, just your name.
Just your name.
Everyone's like, just stop. But yeah, so we'll get into that later. But yes, non-branded side, producer as well.
Nice to be here.
Trailed off at the end. I'm Alex Fernie. I'm a writer and director, so I write and direct videos for Funny or Die. Concise, it's clear, succinct. To the point.
That was great.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been practicing it a lot. So we're going to sort of talk a little bit about just sort of what the process is sort of in the day-to-day there. I don't know if we have an order of videos. I think we're just sort of like going, okay, cool. Then great. Well, just then I'll start it off. As a writer and director, I've been at Funny or Die for about 2 years now. I was hired on as a writer and started sort of directing stuff more. And we have a staff. Most of the creative staff is in Los Angeles, of writers, directors, editors. A lot of people sort of wear different hats, and we sort of work as a room. Like if a celebrity comes in, we all go and we pitch to them sort of different ideas we like, and then we do whichever one they want to do. In addition to coming up with topical stuff that is a sort of quick response stuff that you can't really do anywhere but the internet, because we can see something hit the news and then turn it around really quickly, and then just sort of funny videos that aren't tied to a celebrity or a specific thing that's in the news. There's a video we're going to show that I made recently that was sort of an example of the quick turnaround that we did, maybe we'll show it and then talk about the process for that. So no.
Yeah, no, yeah, and then we'll also talk about Captain Planet.
Okay. they can hear you, you know. And we'll also talk about Captain Planet. So, let's show that. This is a video that we did a couple weeks ago that was tied to a pretty major sort of like political story.
Women's reproductive health is an important issue, and it's crucial that we have a serious conversation about it.
Contraception, birth control, Planned Parenthood.
We need to speak out about these important concerns.
You might say, wait, there's something about all of you that seems very similar to one another.
You're right. There is. We're all experts on women's reproductive health.
What qualifies me to be an expert on women's reproductive health? I'm a 59-year-old man.
Late middle-aged men know the most about everything.
Obviously, our opinions on what non-men do with their bodies are very important and valid.
Back in my day, women just put an aspirin between their knees and that worked just fine.
We also burnt sage to ward off evil spirits and thought Asian people had the power of flight.
Those were the days.
If you need proof of my expertise,
here's a list of words.
Vagina.
Pudenda.
Tons pubis.
Squirter. Ovary. Squim.
Fallopian tubes.
Bush.
Boobies. I'm practically a doctor.
Oh, clitoris. I touched a vagina once. Right before I got kicked out of the strip club. So yeah, I think I know what I'm talking about here.
Oral contraception is bad. Plain and simple. Why? Because I don't understand how it works, and science scares me.
God wouldn't have given women tummy pockets if he didn't want babies swimming around in them.
And that's why we chose to speak up. And I believe that you'll find all relevant points of view to be adequately represented.
Some of us believe that women should not be able to easily obtain birth control.
And others of us believe women shouldn't be able to get it at all.
It's a broad spectrum.
It's just that women don't know the first thing about their own health. That's why there are no women doctors. But they're good at other things, like poetry and real estate.
Why don't we ask a woman what she thinks? Because she would faint from the stress.
Also, it's a well-known scientific fact that women don't show up on camera. That's why Shakespeare had men play all the female roles.
Us making all these decisions are probably just on their period.
Definitely on their period.
Gross. So, women, don't you worry, I'm pretty little heads. We got this.
We thought long and hard about your bodies.
And I'm pretty sure we know what's best for you.
Trust us.
Trust us.
Trust us.
Trust us.
We're experts.
Vaginas.
So that's sort of an example of both a topical video that we turned around pretty quickly and a celebrity video. As you can tell, you know, like Nick Offerman and Judd Nelson and Judd Nelson's beard and all those people in there. You know, that was sort of a very quick turnaround, and I think it's sort of a fun example. Like, I was very proud of that one, and it's a good example of, I think, the types of videos that we can do at Funny or Die just with the way that we produce things. So we can talk a little bit about it. Like, that one in particular, when that panel happened in Congress and it was all those sort of older guys talking about women's contraceptive health and that became a controversy, I knew I wanted to do something about it, and I thought the best thing to do about it was just basically make a video with a bunch of guys talking very cockily and nonsensically about women's bodies. And we have a green screen in our studio, and so I was like, okay, well, I wrote up the script and I gave it to Allie because it was a topical piece, and then she reached out to all of those celebrities to try and get them to come in. She can talk a little bit about that. I think I finished it. It went out 2 days later. We were shooting. It was edited 2 days after that, and then it was up less than a week after sort of the start of the whole process. And even that is almost long by our standards. Yeah. Like we'll turn it around to 12 hours sometimes, sometimes less. You maybe want to talk a little bit about getting those people? Or
yeah, sure. Well, it really helps that we are working in LA because a lot of those actors are just around. And basically it's kind of a chicken and egg thing because a lot of actors want to know who else is attached. And it's also sensitive. It's a political video and you don't always know where people stand on the political spectrum with actors. But for the most part, a lot of those guys are friends of the site. We work with Nick Offerman a lot. And, you know, Judd Nelson, we had had a general meeting with, and we just reached out to him because his agent was like, you know, I think he's actually political. So it's interesting because you'll reach out to people, and sometimes you'll hear back within 30 minutes, their agent's so excited, they're totally on board. And that was kind of an example of I just spread like a blanket call for a ton of actors just because you never know who can get back to you in, you know, 24 hours to shoot the next day. And by 11 p.m. that night, we actually had like five more people than I thought we even
needed. Yeah, we had to write more lines in so that everyone could be sort of represented.
Mm-hmm. And they were all super happy with the video, and that led to them wanting to do more videos with us. We shot another political video with Judd Nelson like a week later. So, it was just like, you know, everything came together and it worked out great.
And folks seem really excited, too, to do the sort of the newsworthy political stuff. You know, you don't know sort of where they stand politically, but it's pretty easy to, you know, get people excited about doing a political piece because it does get a lot of traction. People are paying attention, especially up until the election, you know. So it's sort of a sweet spot that I feel like we've hit and that we do really well.
Yeah, I should say that video got about 500,000 views in about 3 or 4 days. So, you know, like Huffington Post, CNN, a lot, you know, CBS, Yahoo, they'll pick up these videos and syndicate them basically. And that's where all our hits really start rolling in is when they become news stories.
Right. And I mean, Will and Adam, the founders of Funny or Die, are huge political people. So it's, I feel like we're all, you know, everyone wins in this situation.
Yeah, it feels like in the olden days, like the old standard was kind of like wait until SNL does it. And nowadays, like we get the ability to kind of make it faster, quicker, leaner, and it goes up faster than like they can do it because you have to wait for Saturday. So that's definitely
the best
thing about us. We
actually make a point of it. If it is topical, jump on it right away. See, you know, because every day a news story has happened, it gets less and less funny or less and less people have already moved on. So it's really about jumping on as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we do turn it around in a day. You know, hear a news story in the morning, come to work, write a script, you know, shoot it that afternoon, it's up the next morning.
Yeah, we'll have like we'll have a topical meeting like every Monday week where like everyone can come pitch whatever they want. We'll just literally talk about internet like for the day, what's on the internet, what's going on, and then, you know, we'll be shooting the next day whatever we had in that meeting.
And again, it's because we have the resources to do that since we sort of function like a mini studio. So like Fernie was saying, we have a green screen, we have in-house writers, directors, editors, so it's easy to, it's not easy to pull this stuff off, but we definitely have the bandwidth to be able to do it at a quick, you know, quick turnaround.
We also have an army of like hundreds of contractors of makeup people, DPs, gaffers, and we have a growing equipment list of our own. So if someone's not available, we can get somebody else into our studio in like an hour. So we're really lucky in that regard.
So bam, okay, in like an hour.
That's how it goes.
All right.
That's how it goes.
Like super quick.
I mean, I should say we make about 25 to 30 videos a month. So, you know, there's also smaller videos. There's bigger videos. The majority of our videos are heavy celeb content. But a lot of times we'll, you know, make a mashup or a super cut. And that'll do well, too, which is great because it's free. No one has to come in.
And those two videos that you saw are sort of a decent sort of look at the different types of celebrity videos we do. The Cheadle video, the Captain Plan video that Nick and Charles, who are writers and directors with us and are super, super talented, as you can tell, like that was their idea. And that's more of almost like, you know, it's like a scene from a movie. The production value on that is like, especially by internet standards, is very, very good. And then the top of it, we just shot it on a green screen and put it together, and like I'm very happy with it. But like they're very different types of things that we're doing there. And what's very nice is because we are sort of built to just sort of move fast and be very flexible in what we do, we're able to pull off both. And I think that's one of the things that makes the site interesting is that you're not always just going to get that every day. Sometimes you're going to get, you know, the Captain Planet thing or
Cats and Boobs.
Or Cats like and Boobs. Like you will probably get Cats and Boobs every day. But like that changes it up and like from the creative side of it makes it I think, very interesting to me to be able to create stuff there. And I think from the viewer side of it, makes it more interesting to a broader sort of scope of people, because if you don't like the video that's up on Tuesday, it's just not your thing, well, Wednesday is probably going to be something completely different.
Yeah, and all the writers and directors sort of have pretty different backgrounds. Like, Fernie is a big Upright Citizens Brigade guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're a teacher. You do a lot there. But, like, some of... Do you guys know what Channel 101 is? Unless so, it's like two of our guys are big Channel 101 people, but they're more, I feel like they're more focused on like the filmmaking of it. So they're very like technical and they're good at visual effects. And so it's interesting to sort of bring all those different backgrounds together. And like he was saying, you kind of get a diverse, you know.
The one thing that's like really important about every one of those people though, is everyone is like very into the internet in a different way. So like a lot of these people were early adopters of Twitter. Maybe they're on Tumblr and they have a big following, but like they essentially understand that the whole mechanism for how we get these videos out there is a huge portion of social media. Like our Twitter, our Tumblr, our Facebook, you know, all these different kind of distribution areas for us are like really what we lean on or leverage the most, because everyone's on their phones. Everyone's probably on their phones right now. But that's like a huge thing that we can kind of use to our advantage. So, and especially like with Fernie's video, that was such a huge kind of point of action, really. People were very angry about it. Women were very upset about it, and they should have been. And it was kind of the thing that we fed exactly what people wanted. So
I just saw a couple, there were a couple people raise their hands. I don't know if you've decided.
You can feel free to just walk up to the mic whenever anybody can.
But,
Okay, feel free.
You know, a lot of people do it because it's fun. Because it's, you know, the way we have the way we run the company is like, you know, we say this a lot, but it's true. It's sort of a playground for the creatives. You know, Don Cheadle, you know, be it House of Lies or any movie he does, you know, that's sort of a big stakes thing, and it takes months out of his life. And if it fails, oh, Deadline Hollywood's going to shit all over you. You know, like it's a stressful thing. This is a funny idea that was exciting, and I mean, I've never seen him dress up like Captain Planet before. You know, he probably won't get that opportunity again. And so he comes in and does it. And you know, if it fails, if it just doesn't work, there's a lot of failed internet videos on the internet. No one pays attention. And if it's great, like I think that one was, that one has well over a million hits, then you know, people sort of really love it. And it's something that a lot of those type of people just don't get to do anymore. You know, they don't get to just sort of like, I'm going to create something and I hope it's fun and I hope it's cool, and if it's not, oh well. That you lose that at a certain level of celebrity. And a big part of what we do is sort of go like, no, just come and do that. Let's have fun.
And it's a testament to the production staff that, you know, say Don Cheadle doing his TV show, he just goes and does a show. He doesn't have to worry about what's put together, the lighting, craft service, anything like that. And even though, because it's a big Showtime show, but the producers here take care of everything for creative, so that they don't have to worry about anything. They can just literally have fun. And we do get a lot of people who return to Funny or Die because they had a great time doing it. We try to be as cool as possible and try to be as professional as possible, so they come off looking as great as possible.
I think a good case study actually of why people do it is James Vanderbeek. We did James Vanderweek, where his agent was like, you know what, he wants to play in the comedy space. He's known for Dawson's Creek. And so he came in and met with us. We pitched a few ideas, and he spent like 4 days with us just shooting a ton of videos. And, you know, they did Gangbusters online, and he signed a comedy pilot after that. Like, no one viewed him as a comedic actor. And so we have a very strong relationship with him now, where he always wants to come back and play. Same thing with Ralph Macchio. Like, these are just people who just got in the news headlines again after years and years of, you know, having lulls.
Well, Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan probably got the best press after doing some Funny or Die videos. They didn't maybe hold on to the reputation after that, but that's not up to us.
What?
But I know. I'm so bummed. So bummed.
Lindsay.
But it is, you know, it is like that Paris Hilton, John McCain video a few years ago. Like, that really elevated her status for a minute. Like, oh, she's smart. Oh, wait, no, she's not. But, you know, it's like, but, you know, it did. It can change, like, with Vanderbeek or Macchio. It makes people look at them in a different way. I mean, I just love
having... Charlie Sheen. Example where we literally had to shove a bunch of producers and camera people and directors into, like, a Suburban, because this is at the time that he had his breakdown. You know, there's cameras outside of his house, and we had to sneak in, essentially, and shoot this at his home.
Yeah.
And that got turned around in less than 24 hours.
Yeah, I think also just at the end of the day, we're also sort of in the business of resurrecting careers. Is that kind of a way to
absolutely.
Put it?
Like, we're modern day Quentin Tarantino.
Absolutely. Helping out.
But you know, like, but also writing, I mean, having fun with like Jean Dujardin, the.
Jean Dujardin.
Jean Dujardin. But you know, like, he's this really. Comes from a fun role in The Artist, and now he's doing really fun, just offbeat videos for Funny or Die, smoking cigarettes, all of that's really, it's just, people just can also break what everyone knows about them and do something very cool.
And the other thing that's great about Don Cheadle is obviously he had a great time because he came back, wants to do another set of like three videos with us, you know, talking about maybe doing something with the show. So it's just one of those things where like they enjoy it so much, they want to come back and do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I understand why the talent would want to do it, but, like, do they walk away from ownership rights on the video, future rights to the video?
No. 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 I mean, if someone comes to us with a video, like, say, I don't know if you've seen Drunk History, they own Drunk History. No one's trying to steal that from them. And a part of that is so that people will come and show their stuff, and we're not trying to take ownership of it. But if Funny or Die produces something... pretty much Funny or Die owns it, but it's not like, oh, you're under any sort of contract or anything.
But Cheadle's like, you know, I'm clean, I'm done, I had a good day, you guys take it.
Yeah. And they'll have input. I'm sure he had input on the cut, you know. Yeah. We did, when we do something with a celebrity, we want to show them the cut as we're cutting it so that they could say, oh, I don't know about that joke, it makes me look bad or this or that. Mm-hmm. So we work with them. We want to make sure that they do want to come back, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely a very like flexible, collaborative, sort of like mellow, you know, development process. You know, so it's like they not only will sort of approve the script, but also the cut, like Owen was saying. Yeah. So there's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of
collaboration and sort of the sort of I would hope sort of if any of you guys do sort of like work in entertainment, work in Hollywood, like sort of like what the good element of what development can be, where it's not us saying you will do it this way and you will like it. You know, it's more about being like, let's have a conversation about it, and then people are like, no, I like it this way. Then we go, great. You know what I mean? Like that, it's very much about just like, you know, we're doing something for them, they're doing something for us, and again, it's a very friendly relationship where everyone involved wants to make the best video, and because they're always creative people, you know, that tends to lead to the best video working that way, and there's not a lot of layers to have to fight through to get to them.
I do think a lot of people sort of trust us, though, and trust our comedic sensibility and know that we know what works on the internet and what makes people look good and what's really funny, and so there is, I think there's a certain level of trust there, too, just going into it, you know, initially.
There's a question I saw a hand pop up. Yeah.
I think we kind of heard the story yesterday. We had or 2 days ago, we had our big panel, and I think the funny story that I learned was that we hired a CTO and a COO before we hired any real staff members. And so essentially, I mean, the office was working out of CAA. They hired two other writers, Diego and Lauren.
Diego was a really hard guy.
He's asleep. Yeah. There were two more writers that we actually had in the office. So in the beginning, it was the landlord for about a month on the website, just that video, and maybe two friends who'd made other videos. And now, you know, we've ballooned into TV, film, an iPad magazine. So the model kind of for us is, I think, different than anyone's model because we never don't do something. We kind of try everything out and see if it works for us. And if it does, it does.
Yeah, I think they thought it would be like Funny or Die, like hotornot.com, that website. It was like, it was going to be user-generated content.
Yeah.
And when, you know, the landlord just went crazy viral, like crashed the site the first day, they're like, well, hey, there's like a market here for our celebrity friends getting into videos and, you know, complimenting the user-generated stuff on the homepage.
And that's definitely one of the things, because UCB people are always kind of encouraged by, you know, Adam, who is a big one of the founders there.
Founder member.
And they all essentially know that they have an access point through us to get this stuff out there. Another big thing, I think, for celebs is that it's kind of just, they are going to promote something essentially off of having a big thing out like that. And so they might do the video and then a week later have like announce a TV show or announce something like that. So that they're back.
Yeah. We work with studios and actors and everything to time videos so that it's beneficial for everybody. But it is true. Funny or Die started, there was like four people that work for Funny or Die. And now we've had to move twice because it's exploded. Just the amount of people that work there and just the amount of productivity is insane.
Yeah. And it is nice that there still is an element of that sort of like four people in like a weird little Hollywood cottage, where, you know, like where there is still sort of like a DIY punk rock sort of thing to it, being like, yeah, let's fucking try this weird thing. You know, like sometimes it's big. You know, those are sort of like bigger blockbuster videos, and sometimes it's like, I have a really weird idea that I can pull off. Can I get a hat?
Yeah, there's a writer, Ryan Perez. One of my favorite videos of all time is him falling down a flight of stairs, like 10 stairs, but the video lasts like
5 minutes. Immediately.
It's so low budge, but it's just a funny idea that he wanted to shoot, and it just cracks me up. It's really fun.
Yeah, that was also inspired by everyone playing Dino Run. I don't know if you guys know Dino Run. It was just a game where all you did was click spacebar to jump. And so back when it was like eight writers in an office, they would kind of all just fall into playing a game. So that's the whole thing. We're like, we're always working, but at the same time, it's like that's part of the internet, so we can make fun of it and joke around about it. It's great.
Another video?
Yeah.
Another video? Just one.
Perfect segue. Should we go Blake Griffin? Yeah. I just spoiled alert. Sorry. He's not really in the video.
Do you want to talk about...
Sure, I can set it up. So this is one of the videos that we shot with Blake Griffin during the NBA lockout. We thought it would be funny to hire him as our intern because unpaid. He didn't have a job. What?
Unpaid intern.
Yeah, our unpaid intern. And so, but clearly we worked with his team. He was sort of excited about playing around in the sketch improv space. I think he wants to get into acting too after that. He's a good actor.
He's surprisingly
sometimes
funny.
Sometimes you work with when you work with athletes or music or just
I've done a lot of videos with athletes and you don't give them a lot of things to say.
Yeah, he was like the Daniel Day-Lewis of the basketball world. I mean, it was pretty intense.
Yes.
And he did so character yeah. the whole time.
But so he came in, we ended up shooting 3 videos, and as Frenny was saying, everyone has pretty different and unique comedic sensibilities. So he shot 3 really different videos. One was really bizarro and sort of esoteric with Bob Odenkirk. We shot another one that was the one that we're going to show, which is a sort of a parody on 24/7, that HBO sports show. And then the third one was a little video called Little Blake. And it was sort of a parody of those Penny Hardaway dolls from the 90s. So he had his own little, small basketball doll. But this one is the 24/7 parody that we shot around our office. Anyway.
Basketball, the perfect combination of man and ball. But what is a basketball player when he is locked out from the very game that defines him? One man, one website. One unpaid internship. Off the court, in the office. This is 24/7. Blake Griffin, intern. It's the Monday morning meeting with yet another dog. Blake Griffin's career in comedy.
Let's settle up, guys. Let's settle up.
We need clicks, guys. We don't have enough clicks, so I need to hear everybody's ideas on boobies and kittens. Excuse me? Did I say something funny? Comedy is serious business, man. So you need to get your head in the game. All right. Slick words that rhyme with dick. Let's go.
As his first day continues, the NBA's Rookie of the Year finds being a funnier dying rookie a much greater challenge.
Yeah, man, I don't know how to word it.
Okay, so you're going to pick up this piece right here, and then you're going to answer the phone. See how I'm answering the phone? Okay, and you listen here and you talk here, okay? Okay?
Intern! I always think of the best comedy ideas when I'm on the move, when I'm pacing. Okay.
And then there's the 6-foot sub we ordered.
Did you measure to make sure it's 6 feet?
No.
Oh, come on, man.
Okay, check out.
When I thought funnier die, like internship, it's gonna be like a whole bunch of funny people, like Comedy Central on nonstop. But so far they've just been dicks. I made a pot of coffee and one of the guys came in and drank some and made this face and poured it all over the ground right in front of me. And then told me to clean it up.
Clean up the mess you made.
All I know is I've got a great sketch and I hope I can pitch it to somebody.
As Griffin struggles with the very basics of interning, The decision comes down from the higher-ups that he must focus on his fundamentals.
Action, go! Who ordered the fart sandwich? Cut! Hey, stretch! Can we get that light steady, please?
Yeah, aren't we supposed to use a C-stand for this?
Go again! One more time! Hold the fart sandwich higher and get it all out quicker. Thank you. All right, let's go again.
Just hold... Will you hold this for me?
Why would I hold it? I'm thinking about the shots and how the scene is going to go. You're going to have to get somebody else in here to do it. And maybe you can go do something else. Maybe you can scrub toilets or take things out of the garbage.
Ostracized. Alone. Griffin begins to retreat into himself.
I hate it here, Mom. I don't think I'll ever be able to shoot that sketch.
Don't give up, Blinky Boo. Remember when you were worried that you couldn't dunk over a car? Then what happened?
I did dunk over that car.
After a finishing day of menial tasks, Griffin is summoned to deliver important documents to the big kahuna himself.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm good.
Great to see you. They told me to come by and drop this off. They told me to bring that to you. Yeah,
great.
Funny.
Thank you.
Hey, while I've got you here, I'm in a little bit of a hurry. I've been writing a script.
Because I don't have time, I can't look at that, you know, unless it's got to go through the proper channels.
Let me just read a few things out. You want me to spend your house tonight?
No, I want you to keep it in your hand.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity, man.
Sure.
Actually, no, you know what? My time at Bunny or Die has been really, really shitty. I thought it was going to be good, but it's been shitty. And you are kind of the ringleader of it all, so f*** you, Will Ferrell. Thank you. Appreciate that.
You got moxie, okay?
Appreciate that. You got that script. I just figured maybe you could take a little.
No, because I want to make this now, okay? This is what I should.
Success when everything is on the line. That is the mark of a champ. And it's a mark Blake Griffin exhibits in everything he does.
So yeah, that was sort of an example of, you know, him obviously being a huge, big deal athlete and, again, wanting to sort of come over to Funny or Die and shoot for, did we shoot for 3 days? 3 days.
He was there for a while.
Yeah, right? Yeah. He was there for a while.
It was, and like by day two, it was sort of like, come on, Blake Griffin, I'm working. Like it actually started to become, you just like forgot that this guy was like rookie of the year and shouldn't be there. And just sort of started to accept like, okay, I have to go be mean to Blake for a little bit and then I can get back to work.
Right.
Oh, we did shoot a fourth video. I forgot. There's a fourth video where we literally, it's like a time-lapse camera. It's supposed to be like a, you know, a CCTV camera that's like watching him in his office. And we literally just had everyone come in and just do something rude to him, like take his chair, take his desk, take his papers, and like just film.
I sexually harassed him.
It was great. Oh, yeah, your shirt off?
Yeah, I walked in with the shirt off.
I think he got on all fours and somebody rode him around like a dog or a pony.
But he just had a great time. And like we just did another, we did a Kia commercial that we turned around in like 3 days with Jeff Goldblum because he wasn't going to be in the dunk contest. So again, he just wanted to come back. Kia's in love with him, obviously, and so it kind of just all worked out for us to put it together.
But we had so much fun with him, and he had such a good time, too. You know, it was just one of those, like, perfect examples of just, like, sort of building a great relationship, you know? Like, I feel like even after that, he's still doing more with us. We talked about doing another video with him as well, so.
It is a good example of what we're talking about, of it being like, he doesn't get that opportunity, being a basketball star. You know, that is sort of something he wants to do, and he's pretty good. Like, he's got a weird sense of humor, and he's legitimately funny, and that's not something he gets to do on a day-to-day, and so that's, again, that sort of, like, playground feel of, like, well, then come do it here, you know? Like, if you're good at that, and it's fun, and it's cool, then, yeah, come do it with us, and we got to, and, like, I think that video turned out good, and, like, all the stuff we've done with it has been really fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Any right in front.
Have you ever had to convince celebrities to be down for
us? Yes.
We have a president of production that pretty much like sells the dream on a daily basis to people. You know, they're never lied to, they're never fooled or tricked in any way, but it's essentially kind of showing them how good this is going to be for them. And we have a lot of case studies of like things that, you know, essentially brought people back out of anonymity. I mean, Ralph Macchio, what hadn't done anything in years, did a huge video with us and was on Dancing with the Stars.
We're also talking about doing Outsiders on Ice with him, so that's another thing that's in development. So that will be his follow-up.
hopefully.
Fingers crossed. It is a lot of times. It is that sort of people come in. They can be very, you know, sort of like fun, funny people. And sometimes, like, we'll be like, we think this is the best idea. And there's that element of being like, we're going to tell you why we think this is the best idea. Because I would say 75% of all celebrities who come in really want to do a thing about paparazzi. And that's, you know, at a certain point that starts to warp you a little bit. And we try to nudge them away from that. And also because we've been doing this for a few years now and we've gotten pretty good at it, that it is a little bit of an element of like, you know, you can trust us. We know what works on the internet. We know what works on our site, and we know what is going to be sort of the funniest video we can make. And I'd say a lot of the time, most of the time, people sort of like trust us, and it does pay off because, you know, sometimes if they just do films or they're musicians or something, they can be a little skeptical at first, and then you go, look at all these videos we've done. You know, we'll show them some video with a ridiculous premise and say, you know, this is the same situation that might have seemed crazy on paper, yeah. And now it's so successful and people love it, like the Marion Cotillard video, where it's her walking around with fake boobs on her head, and basically that's the whole video, and it like did really, really well.
Yeah, that was one of those things that like her publicist was like, absolutely not. There's no way you're doing that video, okay? That's totally crass. It's not. And then that was the one video that she selected, and didn't Diego write that video?
He did.
Oh, cool.
Excellent.
Great job. He wears many hats. It's just like an example of her, you know, coming off the heels of winning an Oscar. Let's like make fun of myself and show people I can be goofy, and, you know, just seeing her in a different light was sort of what we accomplished.
And we'll also make sure, like, if a celeb comes in, and they always come in and they have an idea, and then we'll pitch our ideas to them, and we'll always do like a writer's meeting, kind of prep our ideas. But we always have like kind of staples of those meetings that we kind of bring back because some people don't do them, and then finally we'll get somebody to do them. But we'll always kind of guide them away from doing something that we think would embarrass them online, which is, I think, why they trust us, you know.
And we
I think that's a great example to segue into your video.
Well, this video, that it was just a brain fart idea, but it was one of the actors doing it kept saying while we were shooting it, I'm ruining my career, I'm ruining my career. He kept saying it over and over again. I was like, I don't think you're going to ruin your career, but yeah, I mean, definitely. I saw this one video online, which I think everybody in the world saw at one point.
Let's take a look.
I'm sure you guys get it.
You've seen that.
And it was a huge character arc.
And then, I was like, well, who looks like giant babies? And I mean, like, we've made this video.
Thank you.
So Mr. Chiklis was like, oh, what the hell am I doing here? This is a disaster. What am I doing? And I couldn't tell him that he wasn't running screen. I mean, I just figured it's like, and that was actually Pat. I was like, Patton would be perfect because he's just a big baby man. And he's the one who actually brought in Chiklis. And it was pretty fun. And, you know, I was actually also wearing a diaper on. So I was only wearing a diaper just for to give them moral support. But that is the kind of, that's also the fun thing about, like, that video did okay or whatever, but it was more out of fun than anything else. It was just, you know, and that's the fun thing about Funny or Die is, like, I literally heard a news story in the morning, came in, wrote a script, and you can just get people to do it, and you could turn around something so fast. And on the internet, everything just is constantly in motion, and if you can just grab that moment, it works.
And that's how long did it take you to write that script?
Well, this script, that's like a 17th draft. David Mamet took a pass at
John
it.
John August.
David Mamet, Haggis took a pass at it. There's a lot of high-end,
And this is a nice example of what, like, that, because, like, that is an example of what only will happen, like, Vic Mackey in a diaper stomping around, like, that's only going to happen on the internet, you know what I mean? Right. And that is something that I guarantee Chiklis will never have that opportunity or you know, be convinced to do that ever again. But, like, that's a weird, funny thing that exists now, and then I'm thinking we're better off for it, because, you know, you've all seen that. And I've never watched it with the crowd. The reveal of when he turns around and your reaction was delightful.
It is also amazing, because that original video, I think, had, like, 20 million views, like, or 10 million views by the time we did it, and it was just one of those things where we're kind of just making fun of the fact that you guys did watch a video of babies saying nothing for 2 minutes. Good job, internet.
I mean, but also in that same regard, I made a video just called Google Maps, because I had a feeling that people would type in Google Maps all the time, and then it would just generate that video. You know, it's almost like using the title to, you know, to be like, oh, how can we get people to see this? You know,
and I think one of the nice, like, sort of things that, like, ties into those and ties into, you know, I was doing comedy before I started Funny or Die through UCB and just sort of on my own, and is that there is that element of sort of like when you're just doing it for you, you know, is that element, well, I'm just going to make stuff, I'm just going to create stuff, and I'm going to stretch different muscles, and let's see if I can do this, and let's see if I can pull this off. And that, I think that's very organic and natural as a comedian and to really any artist, like that's sort of what drives you. And I think Funny or Die as an entity is driven in that same way, where I don't feel different when I work there. It's the same sort of thing of being like, fuck yeah, let's see if we can turn Cheetah into Captain Planet. Let's, you know, let's do that. Let's give it a shot and just sort of create, because you never know what's going to click. And even if something isn't the biggest video in the world, a lot of those people who saw it really dug it. That's right. The other nice thing about the internet is there are these niches, and they will find it. People will find that thing that is for them, and that's one of the nice things about working for Funny or Die is a huge venue to be like, okay, you know, this is very specific. That woman's contraceptive thing, I didn't think it would do as well as it did. I was like, there are going to be people who find this and going to be psyched about it, but it did much better, and there's a bigger audience for it than I ever expected.
And then there are times you make a video, and, like, I'd be laughing the whole way making a video, like, oh, this is the funniest thing in the world, and it goes into the crypt, and it's like everyone hates it, like, universally, and I'm like, all right. That was a big mistake.
Yeah, there's a couple things on the site that we all, like, you know, love, like, you know, with all of our hearts, and people hate it, and we almost love the fact that people hate it, so it makes us, like, love it even more.
Yeah, it's like street cred.
We just tried it, it failed, and we love it even more now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Beautiful, ugly baby.
It's our ugly child.
I think we'll just move along to the next video. I'll set it up. This is a video we did with Billy Crystal. And what happened was he had this funny idea of just making fun of how Hollywood trends inform studio notes to death. So it's like, even if you have this great idea, the studio is going to add notes like, well, I won't give away the surprise. But basically, he had this funny idea, and his daughter, Lindsay Crystal, she'd worked on The Daily Show. She wanted to get into directing. And so she's like, well, you know, she and her husband and, you know, her sister and her sister's husband, they're all writers. And they're like, what if we wrote this idea with Billy and we took it to the internet? So their agents kind of set up a meeting with us, and they really brought the project to us. So it was kind of they co-produced it with us because they were able to bring on amazing talent. And because the caliber of talent was so high, we kind of treated this like a mini film, and we spent a ton of money on it. It looked great. They were able to bring on, you know, film DPs. We shot with them for 3 days over Los Angeles. And I co-produced it with Betsy, and it was so much fun for us because it was just this grand scale, and it was going to be like one of the biggest videos Funny or Die had ever done.
Yeah, it was like Barry Lyndon for Funny or Die, just the longest, most drawn-out process.
Let's hear it for Barry Lyndon, everybody.
Barry Lyndon.
So, without further ado, When Harry Met Sally 2.
So, if Sally passes away, it's not only about Harry dealing with the loss, but also about finding love again.
Yeah, you know, because people love Harry and Sally. I mean, they want to know what they're up to now. I mean, even if one of them is dead.
It's everything that the first movie was, but now for the baby boomer crowd.
The boomer quadrant is blowing up.
Oh, there's definitely an audience for this.
I have to say.
Oh, that's genius. It's genius. Guys, this is the perfect way to do this.
So glad to think so.
I just have one little tweak. Not a big deal.
It's just like the brochure. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Mom wouldn't have wanted you in that big house all alone. She'd want you making new friends, Dad.
I know.
Deliver an onions, please. I want my flaxseed oil on the side, and I just want low sodium butter. And then for dessert, I'll have the tapioca pudding, but I want sugar free whipped cream. But if you don't have sugar free, then I'll just have a scoop of cottage cheese with seedless berries. But if you don't have seedless, then I won't have anything at all. Thank you. Harry, you don't want to be with someone like me. I'm difficult.
Are you kidding? I love everything about you. And trust me, when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with them, when you with the thing, with the thing, with, I'm getting old. What's the matter?
Balls are in the way.
Well, give them to me.
They're too big.
Pass the whole sack.
Now, cut the foreskin.
Oh, I'm liking that.
You don't eat the entertainment before the entertainer. I mean, who does that?
Clean?
I don't feed between meals.
I'll roll down the window.
Special. You guys are firing on all cylinders. I just, I feel like it's, I just have one little tweak. Not a big deal.
So anyway, he was chowing down on his forearm.
Well, no, it wasn't a forearm. It was his thigh. I was chowing down on his thigh, and here comes this little girl.
But anyway, he's always a huge appetite.
I have a very big appetite.
That's So as you can see, there's a lot of stunt casting in there. You know, we had like even that waitress who was taking Helen Mirren's order. She was the actual waitress from the film, and you know, she came out and just did that one look and then left. And we flew in Mike Tyson to shoot with him for a day, and it was just really fun to see so many people get excited to get on board for this shoot. So it really did feel like a mini film when we shot it. And the really cool thing about this was. Lindsay Crystal, who directed his daughter, she actually got signed after this was released. And Billy Crystal went on The Daily Show for no other reason. He wasn't promoting anything else but this Funny or Die video, and he joined Twitter to promote it. So we got Billy Crystal to join Twitter for it. And they just, you know, they kind of like really like brought their own weight and clout and everything to help make it this like huge internet video. So that was just a lot of fun for us as a company to be watching The Daily Show to see them announce a Funny or Die video. That was a pretty surreal moment for us.
Yeah, and then Billy went on to like host the Oscars like everyone knows, and we even made more promos with him.
Yeah, when he was replaced
Eddie Murphy
as the host of the Oscars, the organization wanted to do a bunch of videos, and he was like, hey, I work with Funny or Die, let's do it with them. So that was pretty awesome for us as well.
Yeah. Although now we can all get Billy Crystal's dad tweets, like dad joke tweets.
They're the best. Very good dad jokes, but they're dad jokes.
Question?
Yeah, you've kind of talked about some of the anxiety and fears that you have managers and talent talk about with these videos. I've been doing kind of a web show and had some managers have very negative responses to the web. As far as I even had, you know, a kid, someone that was supposed to be in a video, and their manager kind of edged them towards getting out like 3 days before production. And do y'all have any suggestions on how to deal with that when you're not Funny or Die? And you can't, I mean, I don't know how y'all got them to go to that point, but I found, you know, there's a panel on casting recently where they said, I would only let my talent be in a web show if they were, if they threatened to leave me. Yeah. And I was like, great.
Wow.
Wow.
People still, not everybody, but a lot of people are still kind of terrified of the internet. Part of it because it is still very new and constantly newer. Part of it is because people don't see how, especially managers and agents, don't see dump trucks of money coming their way from it. There are definitely people that, I mean, even Funny or Die, like, we can get great people, but we do run into that, where people are like, well, why would I do something on the internet? The internet is, you know, just for, you know, weirdos and perverts. They're not wrong. One of the things that is, I think that the reason Funny or Die is able to get the people we get, and you know, this might be another chicken and egg, and I don't know how helpful it is, but is that we have made stuff that is good, and we use that as that foot in the door. We say, look, I know what you think the internet is. I know you think it's just vlogs to YouTube and just, you know, piracy and that, but like, it doesn't have to be. It is an art form just like anything else. And you can create great talent on it and find great sort of avenues to release that. And I think more people are getting on board with that. But like, that is our main sort of cachet, is that we can say, like, I can send you a DVD full of videos that if I didn't tell you they were on the internet, you wouldn't necessarily know that, and they're good, and they're funny, and then they're the sort of thing that you would want someone to do.
Yeah, I mean, legitimately, good material is good material. You know, if it's really funny, then it's redundant, but it's really funny. So I think that a lot of it does come from that. Like, I'm not saying you don't have anything wherever you went. He went to the bathroom. But it does sort of start with that. You know, sort of like unique. Interesting material with a point of view. But I mean, Daryl can talk about even just getting, if you've shot something, you've made something now that you're proud of, that you're sort of shopping around as a sample of your body of work or whatever, there's certain ways to get eyes on that and certain ways to sort of push that out via social media and, you know.
I actually have to say, like, before I worked for Funny or Die, I worked for a startup production company that our whole development slate was testing things online. I think to ignore the internet is really naive as a manager because, I mean, look at, like, the TV shows that are getting picked up. Like, Twitter accounts get TV shows. Like, In the Motherhood was a web series with Leah Remini, and it was, like, actual mothers would write in and interact with the show's creators on the web series, and it got picked up to ABC. And, you know, it's not always going to work, but I think,
Children's
you know,
Hospital started as an internet.
Children's Hospital was a web series on WarnerBrothers.com. I mean, it was just, like, I just feel like that's really naive to managers, and I feel like you can show them a lot of case studies and a lot of headlines and how all these TV shows are getting picked up from people just doing great content on the internet.
Yeah. It's definitely fear of the unknown. I get so many emails from people because I run the front page, and so I get emails from users. I get emails. We have a support email, so support at Funny or Die. Anybody can submit a video. I watch everything that's sent to me. My job is just to watch videos and find different types of talent. One really cool thing I got to do, like when I first, I've been like there for 3 years now. After my first year, I had like a lot of people that I kind of went back to for content and people that I really trusted knew the internet and understood the internet. And we ended up hiring like four of the eight people I found. One of the guys that we found who did great Man on the Street stuff, like I was just, we have to do something with this guy. He's amazing. Billy Eichner, we actually had him come out. We shot a TV show. 12 networks wanted it. We have it on Fuse and it's just ordered for second season. So it literally came from him making YouTube videos. I found him. I said, hey, I would love for you to put him on Funny or Die. I'd love to feature them. And then we just started featuring stuff, having him in things. He was with that The Rent is Too High guy. Mm-hmm. We did that video. So it's like one of those things where I also get so many thank you emails because once I feature a video, a lot of people get meetings off that because it's next to like Will Ferrell or next to, you know, Billy Crystal. So there's kind of like another... respect note for being on Funny or Die. It's not impossible to be on Funny or Die. Anybody can, and I always look for like, you know, small users from Chicago or like, you know, anywhere in the country that people who make content, good content, it needs to get out there. And if we can help provide that platform to get it out there, it's like the best thing in the world.
Yeah, we all share videos. Like, have you seen this? Have you seen this? You got to see, who's this person? It's really good. Yeah, everyone who works at Funny or Die comes from working in the internet and doing stuff independently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm going to set up my video because it's the most embarrassing one. We do a great April Fool's gag kind of on the internet every year. First year, we became Reba or Die. I got hired on April Fool's Day, so I was really happy with that. So the next year, we did Justin Bieber or Die. And then last year, kind of came to the last second and didn't really have anybody. We wanted to go out to a bunch of people, and we're kind of just having trouble finding exactly who to go with. And it's a huge day for us now because people almost expect it from us. And so essentially, this person last year when this happened was the biggest thing on the internet in the world. The entire world had gone nuts for this.
It was during South by Southwest last year.
It was. And the craziest part about it probably was the fact that at the end, we had a staff of about six or seven people who were trying to track down a 13-year-old girl to make videos with us. So essentially, we had 2 weeks left.
This was also a case of having to convince someone that this was a good idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This was absolutely a case of someone. And you can see, when you see the video, you see like, oh, I can see why someone who wasn't savvy about this would think, this is terrible. This is making fun. And then it turned out to be a good thing for her.
Yeah. And so we made like a whole bunch of videos basically with her parroting her whole thing. I want to show it before.
Let's do it.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, Ryan Seacrest helped us get her.
But we also literally had found her
through... Ryan Seacrest, guys.
He was the key.
I believe the other key, though, was that her parents have some sort of animal pet...
Her parents are veterinarians.
Veterinarians. So we had to like literally call the vet office to try to get her. So I'll just let it play and you guys can figure it out.
People just don't get it. They really just don't get the song. I'm surprised when people hear my song Friday and think it's just some breezy pop song. The writers, Clarence J and Patrice Wilson, really layered the song with a lot of hidden meaning, and I really don't think that people pick up on it the first time they hear it. What drew me to the song is that it comes from a really deep and a really painful place. Gotta have my bowl, gotta have cereal. That line is about consumerism. I gotta have my bowl, I gotta have my cereal. We can't live without these things in modern society. And for some people, it's a mortgage. And others, it's a bowl of cereal. Well, the choice between the front seat and the back seat is actually a metaphor for American foreign policy. Front seat, Afghanistan, back seat, Iraq. We gotta make our mind up. Looking forward to the weekend is really about the broken promises to a generation in the current economic climate. Weekend is a metaphor for financial stability, and no one is sure of that stability. Do I have to spell it out for you?
what a lot of people don't realize about Friday is that a lot of the lyrics were written in quotation marks. So it's not really meant to sound like partying, partying, yeah. It's more like partying, partying, yeah. I like to challenge my audience. I'm really influenced by Tori Amos, Leonard Cohen, and a lot of the beat poets. The other thing people don't realize about Friday is that it pulls from a relationship of mine. The entire song is about Dave Coulier. I've never met Dave Coulier, but I watch Full House a lot, and I just never liked his character, Uncle Joey.
Cool. Yeah. That's a great example. Thank you.
Yeah.
That one's like a really good example of just like us. We didn't have an idea. We didn't have anything planned. We just needed to do something really quickly and throw it together. And I don't even think all of our writers were that excited about it because we wanted a bigger celeb, obviously, like an actual celebrity. And she came in. She was awesome. She was very good. And she was, super professional.
We had her for 6 hours and we shot 4 videos with her. And each video did over 1 million hits.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're all up to like 20 million now.
I think you've reversed it. We had 4 hours and we shot six videos with her, which was even crazy.
I mean, Justin Bieber, we had for, I believe, 45 minutes in between two of his shows, and we shot 10 videos with him. So this is like one of those things, and like those videos still to this day kind of drive our YouTube channel, like our Funny or Die YouTube channel and our site still, with like all these people who just want to see Justin Bieber.
Those are also a lot of fun to shoot too when you have a celebrity coming in and shooting multiple videos with multiple writers and directors, because everyone works together, you all sort of pull together and use the same resources, and it very much becomes a collective effort.
Yeah. Do we have any questions before we have to go? Yeah. Go ahead.
We get them from...
No, what we have a whole branded department and a sales team based in New York, and what happens is they'll come to us with their products or their entire brand that they want to push, and sometimes it's just ad space on our homepage, but our branded entertainment department's really growing. We're doing big-time commercials. We just started actually a commercial production company within Funny or Die called Gifted Youth, and we'll have our writers pitch a ton of ideas to the brand, and sometimes they give us their brand deck and say, this is kind of the aesthetic we're going for, and they'll just choose one of the ideas, and then based on their timeline of rollout, we'll shoot a video within their budget and whatever idea they like and release it on our site, and now... on TV.
And sort of this
Axe body spray.
Axe loves us.
And the smartest ones let us do our thing. Yeah, the worst ones try to be like, well, it's going to be like a TV commercial, and then no one watches it. And then like we did one with Kia and Blake, that was our idea that we came up with, not even as a branded thing, and pitched to Kia, and they were like, absolutely, go make it. And like, you know, it got picked up everywhere, got a million views, people liked it, people paid attention to it, and that was because they let us do what we are good at.
Yeah.
And so when we get lucky, that's sort of the way we... Like,
smart brands let us do what we want. Yeah.
Yes, JC...
Mm-hmm.
iTunes
that's
store.
That's not the biggest plant in the audience I've ever seen. It's genius. You can download it. So we came out with the first digital humor interactive magazine. We launched it. We did kind of a soft launch.
We had come up with something better than Digital Humor Online Magazine.
It's
worst
really
title ever.
Terrible. No one here
way
is going to download
just
it now.
Fell asleep.
Woof.
But we launched it last Wednesday, and you can it's an app. I mean, so it's designed specifically for tablets and iPads. So
it's called The Occasional.
It's called The Occasional.
You can download a sample, and that's like a couple pages of it. But if to download an issue, it's $1.99. The subscription is $9.99, mm-hmm. And there's an exclusive.
It's $10.
There's an exclusive Between Two Ferns in this one, never before seen, available nowhere else with Ed Helms. So
it's really cool.
It's really awesome, and there's like a lot of things that are fun about it. Like it's actually a fun experience with an iPad magazine. So.
And we sort of pull from some of the outside contributors. Like we just shot for 45 minutes with James Ellroy, the sort of like literary giant, to do a bit, and he's doing this weird ad for the second issue. But it's everyone from like James Ellroy to T.J. Miller did a bit to Adam McKay's writing a political column. Yeah. So it's not only sort of friends of ours in the comedy community that are doing interesting things, but also we're trying to reach out to sort of a broader creative, pool.
Shall we end with that commercial?
Any other questions? We gotta go.
Yeah, I think we're over.
Right here.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, anybody can upload. Absolutely, anybody can upload to the site. Yeah. Since day one, I mean, the site was started to allow people to upload videos. We make so much more now because we realize that's where we get the brunt of our views.
Yeah.
But we also support a lot of just individual users by putting their videos up next to ours, and they all kind of play together. And so when one of ours is featured, theirs might be the next one that's in, like, the playlist, so people will watch it. Yeah. And then,
almost any day there's at least one user-uploaded thing on the front page. I mean, that's how I put stuff up there just on my own before I got hired, and now I work there. Like, that is a nice thing, is that you'll see people who are just making videos anywhere in the country, and they put it up, and if it's funny, it tends to rise up.
No.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.